Dust covers an old typewriter's keys. A person pushes a pencil into an electric sharpener. Journals lean in a row. A title appears. Read it and weep. A teen sits and writes on her computer.
Some people think that high school is the worst time in a person's life. What with the populars, the peer pressure, and the pimples. It's just too much for some kids to handle on a $10 a week allowance. But this isn't one of those stories. Meet Isabella, but you can call her
It. In a school hallway, a blonde girl struts past lockers.
High school. A fantastical kingdom of promise and peril. With warriors.
Teen boys wrestle in a match.
Wizards.
In a chemistry lab, a kid watches liquids bubble in beakers.
And witches.
A librarian shushes and scowls.
A bizarre world where the rules of society no longer apply. It is here where destiny finds the incomparable is.
The writer uses a tablet to illustrate her story.
In her never-ending battle for truth, justice, and gym class.
In gym, a teen boy faces a hanging rope.
The rope. The scourge of every high school student since the dawn of time. But it isn't the length of the rope. It's the strength of the girl climbing it. And luckily, in this case, that girl is Iz.
Iz confidently pushes the boy out of the way. She looks at the gym teacher, then expertly climbs up the rope. The other students cheer Iz on as she approaches a bell hanging near the ceiling. Iz grips the rope with one hand and rings the bell with the other. She shimmies back down, then drops into the arms of a stocky teenage boy with brown hair.
Go.
Vincent, was it the smile, the dimples, the biceps that made him the cutest boy in the kingdom? What do you think?
The young writer uses a stylus to draw on her tablet. She depicts Marco holding Iz.
Jamie, you're next.
The writer looks up.
Okay, so this isn't that story. And Iz is just a character in my journal.
Impressive time, Mr. Vega.
New stopwatch, Mr. Hearn? Very nice.
Marco smiles at the gym teacher.
I don't feel very well. Unfortunately, as hard as I try, I'm no Iz.
Mr. Hearn signals Jamie to the rope. She grabs hold and jumps on, then struggles to inch up.
I can't do it. I really can't. I'm sorry.
In a hallway, kids bump past Jamie.
This is the story of how my private, personal journal became a bestseller.
A student shoves past and Jamie drops her books.
Hey, Jay. How is Jim?
I got stuck on the rope again. Ouch.
My words exactly. Oh, let's bounce. We can't be late for English.
But we have to save the planet first. Isn't that a little ambitious before lunch? The planet is a theater downtown, and they're gonna tear it down unless we do something about it.
I already did. I designed and painted the posters.
Yeah. But no one can read them.
I was experimenting with cubism.
Jamie's friend smiles.
Well, we are going to be experimenting with detention if we don't get a move on. But what about my protest? Maybe we can save the planet along the way.
Save the planet? Save... No. Save
the Jamie planet. And her two friends pass out flyers to apathetic students. Jamie watches a girl greet two friends.
The populars. There she was. The evil and feared Sawyer. Myrna.
She scratches out the name Sawyer.
A cheerleader so vile, even milk curdled at the sound of her name. She entered the hallway with her clone horrific cohorts.
The popular girl and her friends approach Jamie.
Jamie.
Oh, I was gonna say geek.
Myrna was rotten to the core. I'm sorry, did you want something?
Yes, I wanted you to move. You're blocking my locker.
Right, sorry. I heard the tryouts are gonna be really intense this year. Are you guys trying out for cheerleading?
Duh. Are you? You aren't.
No.
No, I didn't think so. That's a very good call on your part.
Jamie walks away from the popular girls.
Risking life and limb, Iz knew she had to destroy Myrna and her vicious clique. before they crushed every girl's spirit.
Well, if you're not going to be nice, then be gone.
Iz zaps Myrna and her two friends away.
And with Myrna gone, everyone cheered.
Jamie stares at her story on her tablet. She doodles under the words, vicious click. She sits smiling in a classroom.
Jamie, is there something you'd like to share with the class?
No, Miss Gallagher.
Then pay attention. Marco, you're next.
Sawyer, named Myrna in Jamie's story, stares and simpers at Marco as he rises from his desk. The entire class watches the shaggy-haired Marco walk to a podium at the front of the room.
It's not very good.
A blonde boy next to Jamie rolls his eyes.
I have a secret. Does she too? The quiet girl I thought I knew who...
He squints at his notebook.
Continually makes me smile. I have to wonder, does she see me or just my mask? Invisibility. Oh.
Jamie goggles at Marco. The blonde boy watches her.
All right, everyone. Have a great weekend, and don't forget, your essays for the writing competition are due on Monday.
And he writes poetry? Is there anything Marco can't do?
Yeah, I write poetry.
You're just jealous.
Trust me, Jamie. If I wanted to write a poem like that, I could have.
Hey, there's your brother.
Jamie smiles.
Hey, Lenny. What's up?
I thought I told you never to talk to me, especially in school.
Lenny carries his lunch tray and stomps away.
What's with him?
I wouldn't know where to begin.
Yeah.
Jamie sits at a lunch table with her two girlfriends and the blonde boy.
So, want to hit the comic book store after school today?
I can't. I have to work.
We're serving pizza until 5 if anybody wants a slice.
What's today's special?
Don't ask.
It was disgusting. The other day he put raw fish on it.
Jamie peers over and eyes Sawyer and Marco sitting nearby. Sawyer places her arm on his shoulders. The blonde boy watches Jamie stare. He follows her gaze, looking across the room. Jamie studies Sawyer, grinning inches from Marco's face. Jamie smiles with tightly pressed lips. Inside Ralph's Pizza Shack, Jamie and her curly-haired friend work behind the counter.
Let's go, Jamie. This pizza's not gonna deliver itself.
What is that stench?
That is the smell of the future. The smell of your future.
The girls follow him to the kitchen.
Liver and onion pizza.
Oh, you're not making that for the slumber party, are you?
Maybe half.
Oh, Mr. Bartlett, please.
Daddy, don't.
But girls, if I don't get some testers for my new creations, how am I gonna know if they're any good?
Trust us.
What is that smell?
It's our future, and apparently it stinks.
Ralph.
It's liver and onion.
You put liver and onions on a pizza. I think you should just stay old school, Mr. B. Your plain cheese is still the best around.
But I'm trying to appeal to a wider audience, a more discerning palate.
Kids flee as Jamie carries the pizza over.
I want to be supportive, honey, but you might be discerning us right out of business.
Ralph's wife sweetly pats his chest. The popular kids fill a big table at the restaurant. Sawyer turns to Jamie.
Oh, excuse me. Jamie, I'm in your English class, and lunch, and history, and math.
You are? Huh.
I said no eyes.
Iz grabs the cup from Sawyer.
Oh, my bad. Let me get you another.
Iz flings the liquid on Sawyer. Marco grins.
Oh, my bad. Let me get you another one.
In reality, Jamie takes it.
Smile. Only 2 hours until closing.
Yes, but 3.5 more years of high school.
Her friend's name tag reads Harmony. At night, Jamie hangs with her and their other friend.
What did you guys do your essays on?
How term papers are a waste of our dwindling natural resources.
Oh, sweet.
I cranked out a couple pages on how I would change the break times between classes to make our lives oh so more efficient.
That's it?
Yes. It's a very convincing paper. Why?
Because the winning essay will be published in the Education Times.
Well, it won't be mine.
I just thought you would have come up with something better than that. You are the best writer in the class.
Hardly.
R2.
Am not! If you're not a writer, then why are you writing all the time?
Because if I didn't, I'd have a nutty. Oh no, my printer died.
Oh. Now the world will never know how much easier our lives would be between classes.
Doesn't Lenny have a printer?
Oh yeah, good idea.
Jamie carries her computer to her brother's room where he plays a guitar.
Hey, Lenny,
thought I told you to never come in my room.
Yeah, but I was wondering if I could borrow your... Hey, you wrote a song. But...
I said out.
He snatches papers out of her hand before briskly guiding her out.
Well, why don't you email it to me and I'll print it out at my house?
Excellent idea.
They watch TV.
I just wish I could find somebody who... understands me.
Everything. Lindsay understands you, Ryder.
Shut up. That's such a lie.
Come on, Harmony. Who doesn't love Ryder Donovan?
Jamie moves a file to email, then moves it away while distractedly looking at the TV. On the show, a hand puts powder into a drink.
No!
Oh, she is a witch. Did you see who she killed last week?
If she keeps this up, they'll have to recast the entire show. Ugh, change the channel.
She emails a journal file.
This one accidental click of the stylus that rocketed my personal, private journal into cyberspace would send a shockwave roaring through the kingdom, altering it.
Her friend submits the printed piece for an essay contest.
Think of your face as a blank canvas. It's all about the shading and composition.
What are you guys doing?
Shading our canvases.
When did you start selling this makeup?
Just last week. It's new.
It's cruel. They test on animals. Everybody knows that. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Look, kid, I just work here. If you'd like to take it up with the company, be my guest.
Don't think I won't. Let's go, you guys.
The friend drags Harmony and Jamie away.
Oh, wow. Do your makeup in the dark this morning, girls?
Sawyer struts past. Makeup covers half of Jamie and Harmony's faces.
You could at least let us finish.
It's been a month. Let the shockwave begin.
They announced the winners of the essay competition.
Yawn.
Oh, come on. You must be excited. You practically wrote a novel.
What are you talking about? It was 5 pages. With footnotes.
Uh-oh.
Seriously. Miss Gallagher said it was the most provocative paper she's seen in 15 years.
Please. Like Jamie Bartlett's ever said anything provocative.
Honestly. Jamie who? They can't be talking about me. I mean, break times aren't provocative, are they?
Break time?
Jamie gapes.
Oh, no, I don't think that was a file you sent me.
A stench worse than liver and onion pizza fell upon the halls.
Hey, guess who won the contest? Guess who won the contest?
No!
In class, Miss Gallagher reads a newspaper.
Myrna and her evil clique of gossipers, insulters, and backstabbers were no match for Isabella. With a flick of her finger, she would zap them into perpetual detention. Chapter 3, Marco Vincent.
Excuse me, Miss Gallagher, but I don't think Isabella's a very realistic character.
I think she's great. Keep reading.
No, Harmony. Let's listen to Sawyer for once.
Where was I? Oh, yes, Marco Vincent. Was it that smile? The dimples, the biceps that made him the cutest boy in the kingdom? What do you think?
Can you believe this one? It's totally weak sauce.
I don't know. Marco's pretty cool.
Sawyer scowls and slaps Marco's arm, then pouts. Later, Jamie races down a hallway.
Way to go, Bartlett.
Story,
Jamie grimaces, then darts into the bathroom to hide. She spies on 2 girls reading the story.
Wow. So inspiring.
I know. Next time Rachel calls me a cow, I'm gonna zap her.
Jamie turns and stares in horror. She runs out of the school. Her blonde friend chases her.
Jamie, wait up. Where are you going?
Crawl under a rock.
Why? I mean, you just won a $1,000 savings bond.
No, I was just publicly humiliated when my journal was read in front of the entire class.
What are you talking about? Everyone loved it. Whoa, that was your journal?
Jamie stops and turns to him.
Yes, and it was a mistake, and now it's published.
Chill out. All right, this whole thing's gonna blow over before you know it.
Think so?
I know so.
They smile at each other. He nods softly.
Right?
At her apartment, Jamie drops a plate in the sink.
A book?
Yes. They read your essay in the Education Times, and they think that you are a great writer.
Look, Mom, I just don't know. I mean,
The humiliation has just died down, and I can't survive another lunch of zapping.
Jamie, this is an incredible opportunity. I'd hate to see you pass it up.
Well, I don't have any more pages.
Jamie leaves her mom in the kitchen. In her bedroom, she looks at a row of journals on her bookshelf. She turns and paces around thoughtfully. Back at the bookshelf, Jamie pulls out one of the journals. Stickers decorate the cover. Now, Iz faces her.
No more pages? What do you call those?
Personal property. I can't do it. No way.
Alone in her room, Jamie puts the journal back.
Jamie, you can't walk away from this just because you're scared.
I'm not scared. I'm not scared.
Then prove it.
Jamie carries a stack of her various journals out of her room with Iz holding her shoulders encouragingly. Jamie walks to her mom and sets the journals down.
Oh, honey, I am so proud of you. Trust me, you won't regret it.
Can I get that in writing?
Her mom grins. Jamie treks over and blocks Lenny playing a video game on the couch.
Move it, worm. Zap, zap.
Hey, Mom, I changed my mind. If I write a book, this zapping is only going to get worse.
You're writing a book? Sounds like a pipe dream to me.
Later, Jamie types.
In 2 short months, the pipe dream had become a nightmare, and my personal, private journal was on its way to becoming a national bestseller.
Stacks of Iz Saves the World fill a box.
Here you go, Ms. Gallagher.
This is so cool. You're going to become a celebrity.
I'll have to do your portrait.
Jamie,
would you sign my copy?
No.
Miss Gallagher holds her copy of the book open. Dozens of teens surround Jamie in a mob-like frenzy. Now, Iz stands in the middle of the mob, confidently signing books. Kids all around the school check out the illustrated story. Jamie solemnly walks through the hallway and passes them.
I fell in love, and one day he was standing right next to me. I thought I was going to be a little bit of a picture of my family, and I met this guy.
Jamie gazes around with a confused, furrowed brow.
Where destiny finds the incomparable is.
What have I done?
Started a revolution.
Iz appears and strolls past Jamie, who stares in bewilderment. At her dad's pizza shack, Jamie dashes past tables.
Excuse me. There you go. Thank you. Have a nice day. Wow, do you believe this crowd? Business has not been this good since we stopped serving wheatgrass pizza.
You don't think the sign has anything to do with it, do you?
A Ralph's sign reads Chicken Feet Pizza and Jamie Bartlett.
This is amazing. Even chicken feet can't keep them away.
Look, can we talk about anything besides that stupid book?
Hey, now. The book was incredible. Empowering. I felt like I can zap myself anywhere. Do anything.
Wish I could zap myself off the English department reading list.
Hey, Jamie. I read your book. It was awesome.
Marco. We're over here.
I better get back.
Jamie's blonde-haired friend stares at Marco.
Do you believe Marco Vega read your book?
Only because you named the romantic lead after him.
It is shocking. I mean, who knew we could read?
Hey, Jameson.
Sawyer waves.
She'd never even know my name if it weren't on the cover. What's going to happen when they realize that the evil Myrna and the clones are really them? Get out.
You're kidding.
No. How else was I supposed to come up with a cheerleader who was so vile that milk curdled at the sound of her name?
Don't worry, Jamie. As self-centered as they are, they will never realize the characters are based on them.
Are we in the book?
Yes. You are Laura the Invincible, and you are the Magnificent Melody.
But they're only the coolest kids in the kingdom.
Yeah, it's mostly fiction.
Jamie walks away from her two befuddled girlfriends. Ralph makes a pizza.
Hey, how about you put that book down and give me a hand?
Put it down? I'd like to throw it at her.
Come on, Lenny. Can't you be happy for your sister?
Have you read this, for lack of a better word, book?
Yeah, it's pretty terrific.
Not if you're Kenny the Stinky Troll.
Come on, Lenny. That's just a character in a book. Has no resemblance to you whatsoever. Maybe a little bit around the ears.
Lindsay, Connor, do I pay you two just to sit around and eat pizza all day?
But you don't pay us, Mrs. Bartlett.
I do now. Put on those aprons and grab a pie.
Blonde-haired Connor and Jamie's other friend, Lindsay, both put on aprons. In the bustling restaurant, Jamie takes an order at a table. Connor briskly walks past and grabs the order ticket. Harmony and Lindsay carry food and drinks to the customers. Connor brings a pizza to Jamie, who promptly serves it to a table. Later, inside the closed pizzeria, Lindsay wipes the countertop.
I've never seen so many pizzas in my life.
And I've never seen so many half-eaten pizzas in my life. Am I the only one who noticed that most of the customers picked off their toppings?
That's because they're here to see Jamie, not eat pizza. And will you please not let my father know about that?
He's so excited by the new business that I would hate for him to think that it's all about me.
You mean us?
Jamie sees Iz.
I mean, her. Let's just change the subject.
Did you hear that the tickets go on sale for the dance Friday?
You guys going?
I'm not.
Why not? You have to.
The Deep Blue Sea dance.
But I don't have a date. Or a snorkel.
Well, none of us do.
I have a snorkel.
Well, since none of us have dates, why don't we go as a group?
That's a great idea.
I guess it could be fun.
And I can get my brother to drive us in his truck.
Yeah, that would be so much cooler than pulling up in my dad's pizza truck.
Then it's a date.
The four friends pile one hand on top of each other. Jamie sees a fifth hand. Daytime, kids gather at school.
Volunteers needed for this year's dance committee. Oh, hey, Jamie, what about you?
You guys, we should do it.
Good idea. If you're going to be one of the populars, you might as well act like it.
We have to. Harmony, you are such a great artist. And Lindsay, nobody can organize the troops like you can. You guys, we could really rock the decorated committee apart.
I don't know. I was going to mobilize a protest against the makeup company at the mall.
Well, we can do both.
And it sounds like a big waste of time.
Whatever, Van Gogh.
Iz sneers.
It'll be lots of fun, I promise. I'll take care of everything.
Jamie signs up at the volunteer table. Harmony and Lindsay look at each other and shrug. Now, students rush out of the school. Ralph walks past a news broadcasting SUV. A reporter and cameraman cross his path. Inside his apartment, more media persons scoot past him in the hallway. He walks into the living room. He sees a hair and makeup person working on Jamie.
What's going on here?
Ralph. This is Diana.
Iz watches.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm your daughter's handler.
What does Jamie need a handler for?
Good question, Dad.
Just to help her over the rough spots. All right, hair up. The pink's brighter. Lose the sneakers. This isn't a basketball game we're going to. What am I going to do about those cheeks?
Diana pinches them.
Oh!
Perfect.
Is all this really necessary?
No, he didn't.
Jamie looks at Iz.
What my husband is trying to say is that it seems like a lot of effort and pinching. Just for an interview.
Not just an interview. It's more alive. Mrs. Bartlett, may I call you Peggy?
Sure.
Peggy, Schilling Press has spent a lot of money to get your daughter's book on the top 10 list. We think you can put up with a little discomfort. Right, Jameson?
It's Jamie.
Lovely child.
Connor watches a young man washing a truck.
I am not driving you to the dance. Stop begging.
Please.
Look, why can't Dad take you?
Because he's not cool.
It's a good point. But no.
You won't do it for me? Do it for Jamie.
You're taking Jamie Bartlett to the dance? Way to go, Squirt.
Well, it's kind of a group thing.
To start?
So you'll do it?
No.
Please, I'll do anything you want. I'll wash your car, do your laundry, clean your room.
And the iguana thanks.
And? I was just talking about one chore.
Well, you know, I guess you don't need to write that badly, so.
Okay, deal.
Sweet.
Connor's big brother enthusiastically shakes his hand, transferring dirt from his muddy truck. Now, Lenny plays his guitar. Lindsay watches him from outside his room.
You're gonna have so much fun, Jamie. Yeah, but it would be more fun if the two of you were coming along.
We wish.
Lenny stares off with a frown as he plays.
Somehow I think all the parties and caviar will make up for it.
You're right, it'll be rough, but let's face it,
Someone has to do it.
Lenny sounds pretty good.
Harmony walks over to Lindsay.
He's awesome.
Yeah, too bad he won't play anywhere else besides his bedroom. He's such a dork when it comes to his music.
He should play at the dance.
He should also wash his hands more often than he does, but I don't think we're gonna get him to do either. Come on.
Lenny jots down notes. Outside, Diana faces the Bartletts.
Come on, people. We don't have all day. We have a schedule to keep.
Well, you heard her. We should be going.
Bye, Daddy.
See you, Jamie.
Mm. Jamie hugs her dad, then looks at Lenny.
Lenny, do you have something to say to your sister?
Jamie.
Lenny.
Okay, thanks for trying.
Tempest Fugit! Tempest Fugit!
Peggy hugs Ralph.
Bye, Daddy.
Jamie hugs her dad.
Better go.
Bye!
Bye-bye.
Iz appears to Jamie.
Shotzi on the window seat. When did she get so bossy?
Iz rolls her luggage past Jamie, who shrugs at her fictional character. In the evening, an airplane descends. In a New York City studio, Diana pinches Jamie's cheek for a photo shoot. A makeup artist applies final touches with a brush.
We have a very exciting show this morning. Jamie Bartlett is on the program. She's written the book, Iz Saves the World. Jamie, let's start with Iz's character. Tell me about her. What's she like? Another day, another
thing. Near the interview set, Diana and Jamie's mom signals for her to smile cheerfully. Jamie sees Iz signal her.
Wow, the sellout crowd today with excerpts of her best-selling books, Iz Saves the World.
At school, Lindsay and Harmony work on a giant papier-mâché.
Good job.
Miss Gallagher smiles at the girls. Jamie poses for more photos. Her handler, Diana, observes and coaches Jamie in front of the camera. From a stage, the young author faces a large cheering audience. The fans hold the book. Jamie stands in front of a huge poster with her image and full name, Jameson Bartlett. Now, Jamie poses more confidently in the photographer's studio, blowing kisses as she models for a shot. In his pizzeria, Ralph looks at full tables and many customers and smiles with a pleased nod.
And joining us now on Backstage Ticket is the Zaptastic author of the book that is sweeping the nation, Iz Saves the World. Here she is, Jameson Bartlett.
Jamie walks onto the talk show stage and waves.
Hi, Jamie. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
At a bustling party, people dance and eat from a huge arrangement of food.
Wow, this is the coolest party ever.
Oh, I'll say.
It's jamming. Jamming? Oh, no, Mom. Don't say that out loud again. Someone might hear you and think you're here with me.
Young lady.
Quiet, sorry. But jamming? Didn't your generation at least say groovy or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, then, you two. I've got some business to take care of over by the shrimp plate. So you two help yourselves to whatever you want and have fun. It's an order.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Jamie gazes around the crowd.
It's Amber Tiffany.
Don't you have a picture of her hanging on your bedroom wall?
No, that's a picture of Ryder Donovan. Amber's just standing next to him.
Should we go say hi?
No! You can't just go up and talk to her. She's Amber Tiffany. She's on television. You know, sometimes I think that you're from an entirely different planet, Mother.
Jamie, they're just people just like you and me.
Oh my God. It's George Jackson.
I had all of his albums.
Yeah, what's an album?
Something we listen to on the planet I'm from.
Well, why don't you go talk to him? He's just people.
You're right.
I'm going to. George. George Jackson. No. Mother, I was just... Can I hug you? I am so excited. Kidding.
Jamie watches her mother hug the famous musician, then looks around, watching people dance. Iz appears before her.
So, go mingle. There must be someone here you can talk to.
A fluffy dog steps near.
Aww, hi there, little fella. That's not exactly what I had in mind.
Puffy,
Amber reaches for the dog. Her tiara sticks to Jamie's hair.
This could only happen to me.
I'm really sorry. I don't know how this could...
What is wrong with you? Follow me to the green room before we end up on the cover of Starlet. I don't believe this.
I'm really sorry.
Jamie untangles her hair from Amber's tiara.
I'm really sorry.
I got it. Finally.
Amber smooths her hair.
Are you gonna let her talk to you like that? Say something.
Hi. I'm Jamie Bartlett.
Hi.
Is that the best you can do?
Your tiara looks really nice.
Yeah, it should be. Cost enough.
Jameson Bartlett?
A woman enters the green room.
You're Jameson Bartlett, right?
Zap, zap. I loved your book. Loved it. You wrote a book?
Oh, it's fantastic. I read it between scenes last week. So, how's the tour coming? I just saw you on More Alive.
And the last time I saw you, you were poisoning Stephanie Chandler's lemonade.
Don't worry, I only play evil on TV.
Caden, you're my light.
Amber now looks at Jamie.
Another day, another Myrna.
Jamie walks back into the party. Her mom does a stiff-armed robot dance with George Jackson, the musician. George copies the movement.
Will the humiliation never end?
I'm sorry, were you talking to me?
You're Ryder Donovan.
You're Jameson Bartlett.
Call me Jamie.
Okay, Jamie. I'm a big fan.
She shakes.
A big fan?
Hey,
we want to hear
girls,
every detail.
I need some help
it's
back
on again.
Here.
We're watching it right now.
Girls!
It's Jamie.
Oh.
There's not much to tell. Then his handler interrupted, and then my handler interrupted, and then the handler started harassing us. It wasn't pretty.
Well, at least he knows you're alive.
Anyone else? Amber Tiffany was there.
Get out.
So not impressive. So what's happening with the decorating committee? I feel really bad that I'm not there to help out.
Don't worry, there'll be plenty to do when you get back. You have to see Harmony's will. It's amazing.
Well, it's okay. But you're never gonna guess what happened at school on Friday.
What?
Guess. Tell me!
Sawyer and Marco broke up.
Get out! They had a huge...
dramatic...
breakup right after lunch. It was incredible.
She told him that he didn't treat her the way she should be treated.
And he said she was a spoiled brat.
Whoa!
I know, right?
Connor waves.
Well... someone wants to talk to you.
Thank you.
Hey, Jamie. Honey, there are a few talking points that I would like to cover before your next interview. Okay?
Sorry, guys. I have to go. That's my handler. But I'll talk to you guys later. Bye!
Connor stands holding the pizzeria phone with his mouth open. Harmony and Lindsay shrug. He purses his lips. At home, Connor clutches a pile of dirty clothes with long tongs, wearing rubber gloves and a diving mask. He crams his brother's clothes into a washing machine.
Oh, not more laundry.
Well, you're right, don't you? Just put it in the pile.
Good job, Squirt. You know, I thought you would have quit weeks ago.
Not a chance.
Connor grabs more dirty clothes.
I just really like her.
Sweat stains his older brother's shirt. Connor pushes more clothes in the machine. At their apartment, Peggy stands outside Jamie's bedroom.
Let's go, honey. Chop, chop, you're gonna be late. Almost done. Turn off the tablet. Now.
I don't get it.
First you tell me to write, then you say don't.
I'm getting mixed signals here, Mother.
No, what you're getting is fresh. Get in the car. Lenny, come on, let's go.
Jamie carries her computer. A headband sparkles and she grabs it before leaving. At school, she walks down a busy hallway.
Thank you very much.
Hi.
More students wave as they pass her.
So, did you really meet Amber Tiffany?
Yeah, we're kind of friends.
No way.
Way.
Her friends approach.
Wow, you're a superstar now.
So we have to get the word out that you're going to be at our animal rights rally next Thursday.
You are coming, right?
Of course I'm coming. I wouldn't miss it for anything in the world. I would never let you guys down. Or the bunnies.
Of course. Come on.
At lunch, Harmony carries her tray next to Connor.
Whoa, what is that smell?
Oh, the fresh pine scent? Yeah, that's me. I had to detail my brother's car before school this morning. You know, it's part of our deal.
Sounds like a lot of work just for some wheels.
Yeah, but worth it.
Connor, that is so nice that you're doing this for...
Suddenly, Marco bumps into Jamie. The whole lunchroom looks. The two smile. Iz watches gleefully, and Marco heads off.
Did you just see that?
You two totally had a moment.
Did we?
Yeah, he did.
Hey, Jamie. We have an extra seat.
Jennifer, too, is out sick.
No, thanks.
Oh, come on, we want to hear all about the backstage party.
Jamie looks from Sawyer to her friends.
Go ahead, give him a treat. We've already heard all the stories.
Jamie carries her tray to the popular kids' table and joins them.
Well, that didn't take much prodding.
Let's face it, Connor. We have to share our Jamie with the rest of the world now.
Just as long as she can fill up my animal rights rally like she can fill up a pizza parlor, I think I can deal with it.
Connor, Harmony, and Lindsay sit together.
And then when I stood up,
my hair was stuck in her tiara.
No way! Way!
What did you do?
We didn't want to end up on the cover of Starlet now, did we?
No, so we scurried off to the green room before anybody could see us.
I mean, can you imagine?
That is funny.
Sawyer and Jamie glance up to see Marco looking for a spot to sit. He keeps walking and sits by a wall.
Now that he's single, you think Marco will take Jamie to the dance?
We couldn't.
Why not? He's a free man now.
Because she said she was going with us. We're going as a group.
I think the rule was if no one asked us first, we'd go as a group.
What? That wasn't a rule. When do we make that a rule?
Why? Do you know anyone else who might want to take her to the dance?
No.
Sound like you do.
I don't. I just didn't know it was a rule.
Whatever.
Connor clutches his sandwich in his hands and presses his lips together. Later, Lindsay, Harmony, and Jamie walk together on a neighborhood sidewalk.
So, how was lunch with the populars?
Well, it wasn't excruciating.
It seemed like you were having fun.
I wouldn't call it fun. I mean, it was okay. Not like hanging out with you guys, though. And the longer I sat there, the more I could feel myself losing IQ points. Hey, why didn't Connor walk home with us today?
Ugh, I don't know. He's been acting all boy-like lately.
Well, let's see you at the pizza parlor.
Oh, you won't see me.
We won't?
No, I quit. Didn't we cover this? I thought my handler called you guys.
You're not serious.
No, I'm joking.
Jamie puts on the headband.
Well, maybe it's the truth. I thought I told someone. Come on, you guys. It's not like I need the money anymore. Bye-bye.
She struts away from her friends, smiling broadly. They stand with parted lips. At the pizzeria, Lindsay busses tables. Harmony brings a pizza to a family waiting at a table. The man hands her an empty glass. She rolls her eyes but takes it. Nighttime. Peggy walks through the back of the now-closed restaurant.
Prune pizza, Peg.
Honey, no.
Try it. Don't judge it so harshly.
No.
You know, I bet the first person to try a pineapple pizza was laughed at, too. Besides, it's more of a breakfast pizza. You know, my gourmet pies are doing so well, I was thinking we should open for breakfast.
Oh, Ralph, don't do this to us. Things are going great.
It's the power of my pizza.
Mm-hmm. Ralph's Pizza Shack? Yes, this is the place, right out of Iz Saves the World. Birthday reservations. 4/12. I have it. Thank you.
Maybe it's not only my pizza.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Inside her bedroom at night, Jamie reads mail as she sits at her desk. Lindsay's name appears on the caller ID.
Hey, Linz. How's work?
Exhausting. Who knew pizzas could be so heavy?
You think you're tired? You'd never believe all the stuff I've got going on. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, I was calling to see if you can help out on Saturday. We have to finish Harmony's will by next week.
Why do we have to do that?
Hello. We're all on the decorating committee, remember? You're the one who got us into this.
Right. I'm sorry, but I can't. Diana's coming over to help me answer fan mail.
You have fan mail?
Well, it's for Iz, but I have to answer it.
Oh. You're not going to forget about my animal rights rally, are you? We really need your help to get the word out.
Sawyer's name appears on the phone.
What? What is it?
A direct connection to high school royalty.
I have to take this call, but don't worry, I'll be at that rally. Call me tomorrow.
Iz reads the fan mail. Jamie answers the other call.
Hello?
Jamie! Hey, it's Sawyer. What's happening?
Oh, nothing.
Hey, listen, you want to hit the mall on Saturday?
Sure. I'd love to.
Sweet. Can't wait.
Jamie hangs up. Sawyer grins.
Yes!
A cable car transports people down a busy street in front of Ralph's Pizza Shack. Inside, Connor takes an order.
Thank you.
He notices Marco enter the restaurant.
Hey.
Marco approaches Connor.
Marco?
Is Jamie here?
Only in spirit.
Will you tell her that I'm looking for her?
No.
Excuse me?
Well, I mean, she doesn't work here anymore.
Oh, yeah, but you guys are friends, right? Hey, do you know if she's going to the dance with anyone?
I don't know. But if I see her, I'll let her know you're looking for her.
Thanks.
No problem.
Connor turns away as Marco leaves. Now Jamie carries shopping bags with her mom and Diana.
Who knew being an author would be such hard work?
Well, you better get used to it, Jamie. If your next book sells anything like this one, this is only the beginning.
Hey, who wants a bite to eat?
Me, I'm starving.
Me three. Let's charge it to the publisher.
Diana dashes into a cafe and Peggy follows. Jamie peers through the window and sees Sawyer sitting with two friends. Nearby, Lindsay and Harmony laugh together.
I'm not hungry anymore. Can we keep walking?
She stares at the two tables, then continues along the sidewalk. Now, Connor's brother finishes cleaning his truck.
Hey, check it out, bro. Till Jamie sees these, huh?
Yeah, doubt if she ever will.
Why? What happened?
Well, Marco Vega's gonna ask her to the dance.
Going to?
Well, not official yet, but all the signs are there.
Well, there's still time. You can still ask her.
But it's Marco Vega.
And you're Connor Kennedy. Look, don't be like that, little bro. You like her, don't you?
Yeah.
And you didn't wash my underwear for an entire month just to let some chump jump in and steal your girl, did you?
No.
That's right. Now, look, you've come too far, and you've worked way too hard just to roll over.
Yeah, I have.
Now, I want you to go and find this girl, and I want you to ask her to the dance.
I'll do it.
In his bedroom, Connor picks up his phone and dials.
Hey, Jamie, it's Connor. Call me back. I want to talk to you. Bye.
Hang on, I gotta finish this conversation. Hold on 2 seconds.
Connor attempts to call back.
Okay, can you hang on for 1 second? Give me 2 more seconds, okay? I'll be right back. Okay. Hello.
Hey, Mrs. Bartlett, is Jamie there?
Yeah.
Jamie! Connor's on the phone.
Tell him I'll call back later.
She says she's gonna call you back.
All right, bye.
Connor flops back on his bed. At school, he paces around by Jamie's locker, which features the name Iz scrawled in pink on the front. In class, Connor sits next to Jamie's empty desk.
Hey, where's Jamie?
She's excused from class. She had a meeting with her handler.
Harmony sighs. Lindsay shakes her head. In the hallway, Lindsay gazes around.
I can't believe this. I'll bet she forgot.
Don't worry, Lynn. She'll be here.
Harmony stands by Jamie's locker as Lindsay peers forward with a furrowed brow.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Jamie.
Hey.
As Connor looks around, Marco spots Jamie.
Jamie!
Connor sees them and runs.
Jamie!
Marco approaches Jamie.
You look great.
Move it easy.
Thank you.
You're just the girl I was looking for.
Come on, watch it!
I am.
Can I ask you something?
Jamie!
Connor dives between them.
Jamie!
Not now, Connor.
But
Mark was just about to ask me something. I'm sorry, you were saying?
Look, I know you're busy and everything with all your Iz stuff, but...
Jamie?
She steps on Connor.
Do you want to go to the dance with me?
Of course I do.
Iz appears and answers for Jamie. Connor lies helplessly on the ground. Now Jamie dashes to her locker.
Wait, let me drop this stuff off. And Bordeaux, I have news for you.
Yeah, you look beautiful. Now let's move it.
Are you ready?
No.
Not without my normal hair and makeup team. I don't know how I'm going to pull this off.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Don't tell me you forgot.
Okay,
I have really important news. More important than saving the helpless bunnies? Yeah.
Jamie glances at Iz.
Kind of.
I can't believe you forgot. We need you. Oh, your protest is today, isn't it? Lindsay, it is totally not my fault. I asked my Diana to call to see if you could move it to Friday because I have this press thing to do right now.
We've been planning this for months. I can't just change a date to fit your schedule.
This is really bad, isn't it?
You have to ask.
Look, I'm really sorry, but it's for the book, and I have a limo waiting for me outside.
Whatever.
Lindsay and Harmony walk away, leaving Jamie alone by her locker, staring after them. Now, the sun shines on a wedge-shaped skyscraper. A large TV screen displays Rise and Shine outside the building. In an empty makeup room, Jamie sits before a vanity mirror.
I can call them at the rally. I can make this work for everyone. I need to find my cell phone.
Iz talks on Jamie's cell phone.
Unc Sawyer, I don't know what to say, but I really should be there. Hey, what are you doing later? I'm taping a segment of Rise and Shine. Totally lame, but what can you do? Anyway, do you want to grab a bite to eat later? Anything but pizza. Ugh, can't stand the stuff.
Hello? Hey, that is my phone!
Well, you aren't going to use it for anything important.
I love pizza. And Lindsay is my friend.
Lindsay isn't going to make you a superstar.
Maybe I don't want to be a superstar.
I don't want to be a superstar. I love pizza. Well, I suppose you didn't want the cutest boy in school to ask you to the dance, either.
Well,
stop whining and start acting like Iz.
Diana walks in.
Oh, you look adorable. So, you ready? Come on.
At the protest.
In this civil society such as ours, it is indefensible to treat small little creatures such as bunnies in uncaring ways. Ban animal testing.
You want to sign our petition?
No. I want to find the bathroom.
Uh-huh. Around the corner to the left.
Harmony holds a sign. Lindsay stands alone on an outdoor stage.
This protest is a complete disaster. Now the bunnies are going to pay for it.
It's not our fault that our celebrity endorsement pulled out at the last minute.
No, it's her handler's fault. I liked her better when she didn't have a handler.
Me too.
In a control booth, a director sits in front of monitors.
And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, I'm Christine Meckler, and welcome to Rise and Shine. Today, I'm very pleased to have high school freshman and best-selling author Jamie Bartlett.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So how does it feel to go from high school freshman to best-selling author in one semester?
Well, there's been a lot of strange things happening to me, but after a while, you just get used to it.
We've been told that your book, Iz Saves the World, is the fastest-selling children's book in Schilling Press history.
Well, we object to the word children because Iz relates to everyone.
We?
I mean me.
Right. You've sold a lot of books.
It's in its second printing.
Wow, did you ever think it would do so well?
Well, as I was writing Iz Saves the World, I felt as if I had tapped into something bigger than myself.
And this is just the beginning.
And that's what scares me the most.
I'm sorry, what scares you?
Oh, nothing. I just meant that people can really relate to the story, although I'm not sure why.
Oh, I do. It's a terrific story. So tell us, Jamie, how did you come up with it in the first place?
Well, my English teacher, Miss Gallagher, said to write what we know.
Wait, so you're saying that Iz Saves the World is based on real events?
Oh, I couldn't make that stuff up.
And the characters are real as well?
Oh, they're very real, yes. Actually, some of my fans have pointed out that Iz is no more than an alter ego of myself. But she isn't. Am I Iz? Isn't. Is she? Am I Iz?
You're Iz? That's quite impressive. Iz battles evil in almost every single chapter.
Kids watch the show.
What can I say? Evil exists in many different forms. And the more I talk to the kids, the more I realize that everyone has a little bit of Iz in them, and every school has a Sawyer.
I'm sorry, who's Sawyer?
Holy cow.
I thought the evil villain's name was Myrna.
Uh-oh. Wait. I didn't say Sawyer. I said Myrna, right?
No, you said Sawyer. We have it on tape.
Sawyer watches from home.
But, oh no. Why didn't I just go and save a little cute little bunny rabbit? This was supposed to be the best day of my life.
Okay, that's all we have time for today. We thank you for joining us, Miss Bartlett. We wish you tremendous success on your book. Up next, seven things in your toilet bowl that could kill you. Right after this.
Jamie hyperventilates. Now, kids gather around the high school. Jamie enters wearing a wig and glasses.
That's it, Jamie. Keep it together. Only 20 more feet until you reach your locker.
She gets bumped into and the wig falls off.
Oh, no!
Jamie Bartlett, stop right there.
Busted. Is prepared to face her doom.
You base that evil witch on me? I'm supposed to be Myrna?
No. It's fiction.
I saw the interview this morning, Bartlett. I heard what you said. We all heard what you said.
I'm sorry, Sawyer.
Oh, no, but you're going to be. I'm going to destroy you because this is the real world, Jamie. You can't just zap me into a perpetual detention. Zap.
Iz tries.
She speaks the truth.
But I'm going to zap you right back to Loserville where you belong.
Leave her alone, Sawyer.
Oh, you're defending her? Have you read her book?
Yeah. Why?
You're in it, too. Who do you think the muscle-headed bozo with a pea-sized brain is?
That's me?
No, it's Josh!
Another boy lowers his head.
Oh, that's so not cool.
She wrote about all of us. She trashed all of us.
The two Jennifers look at each other.
We're the Cloud Horrific cohorts?
Can I offer you a little piece of advice?
Yeah.
Run.
Jamie sprints through the crowded hallway. Jamie races home and closes the door. Peggy talks on the phone.
Yes, Diana. Oh, I think that's a great idea. I'm just going to run it by Ralph and I'll get back to you. Okay, whatever it is, I'm sure it's not a great idea. Diana wants to have a book signing at the pizza parlor. Yeah, see, like I said, that's not a great idea. Jamie, what's wrong?
Everything, Mother.
Jamie stomps out of the kitchen. In her room, she types.
It was the beginning of the end.
Lenny!
I don't know.
Will you please drop the Dramarama act? I'm totally bored with it.
Oh, I'm sorry, but in case you hadn't noticed, my life is falling apart.
Lenny practices guitar in his room.
Falling apart? Hello? Your life is just beginning. Or have you forgotten so quickly? We're going to the Deep Blue Sea dance with Marco Vega.
We are. We're going to the...
She stares at Iz.
No. I'm going to the dance with Marco. You are staying here.
Guess again. Do you think you could pull this off without me?
Well...
Any of this? The parties, the fan mail, Marco Vega?
Yeah, but I was a great writer before you.
Really? Did your paper on mitosis get you on More Alive? Didn't think so. Jamie, you and I are a team. We don't need a Sawyer or the Populars. Our book is on the national bestseller list. We get tons of fan mail every day. People love us.
Yeah, only the people who don't know us.
Who cares, as long as they keep buying the book.
I would rather have friends than fans any day.
Yeah, right.
I would. That's it. Is over. I'm never writing another word about you.
I wouldn't do that if I were you. Now, if you won't think about yourself and you're not the girl I think you are, if you won't, then think about your parents. Business is booming right now. And let me tell you one thing, that doesn't have anything to do with the liver and onion pizza. So if you say goodbye to me, you say goodbye to the pizza parlor forever.
For better or for worse, it was happening. Iz was taking over. She was saying everything I was thinking. Unfiltered, uncensored, unplugged.
On her tablet, under text, Jamie draws a picture of Iz controlling a marionette screaming, "Help me."
So what do you say?
Jamie gazes up at Iz. She shrugs and vigorously shakes her alter ego's hand.
Would you knock it off? We're trying to save the family in here.
No.
Lenny paces as he practices. Iz watches Jamie angrily march to his bedroom door.
What?
I need quiet.
Oh, I'm sorry if my music is interrupting you talking to yourself.
You call that noise music? Why don't you do us both a favor and give it up?
Jamie slams the door shut. Lenny turns away, staring off pensively. He takes off his electric guitar and sets it on his bed, then collapses beside it. Now, a newspaper headline reads, "Jamie Bartlett's tell-all tells too much."
Hey, this isn't fair and balanced. I never said Mr. Clark had B.O.
Other students in the class read the article. They peer at Jamie and solemnly shake their heads. Jamie turns the page of the high school paper.
Four columns of letters to the editor? What kind of yellow journalism is this? And they're all anti-is.
No, they're not, Jamie. They're all anti-you.
Someone lobs a crumpled paper at Jamie's head. A boy casually looks away, sitting without his paper at his desk. Marco walks in and sits by Jamie, blocking Connor.
You mind if I sit here?
Jamie stares at Connor.
Yeah, go for it.
Jamie gazes at Marco as he settles into his seat. A big smile grows across her face. Connor moves to an empty seat next to Sawyer. She holds her forehead, looking mortified.
Wow, you really know how to shake things up.
It's a little out of control.
That's just what this place needed. Hey, so is Myrna really based on Sawyer?
Only a little. Okay, a lot.
So cool. And all the other characters in the book are really students here?
Kind of.
So does that mean you're Iz?
Well, she'd be nothing without me.
And I'm Marco Vincent, right?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Later, in a hallway.
Hey, Connor.
Hey.
What's wrong?
Have you talked to Jamie?
No, and I don't really plan on it.
She's going to the dance with Marco.
Ugh, whatever.
I'm so sick of her.
You know what they want as I bathe is get that car for the dance?
Hey!
Oh,
hey, guys! You guys! You guys, you have to help me.
Her friends scowl.
Are you serious?
Yes! Sawyer is running a smear campaign against me. I need some positive PR, and that's where you guys come in.
Have your handler handle it.
Lindsay leaves.
It's her damage. You are.
Harmony walks away.
Connor?
I got laundry to do.
He heads off, and she stares after him.
But... you guys, I...
She watches Connor catch up to Lindsay and Harmony as they head down the hallway. In the lunchroom, she carries her tray with Marco.
I could try something else.
Sawyer and the popular girls turn away from her.
She's such a Myrna.
Jamie walks with Marco to her friends, and they also turn away.
Come on, Marco, why don't we sit somewhere else?
They approach an empty table scattered with leftover containers and wrappers. Jamie looks at Marco, shrugs, and they sit.
Oh, I never told you how much I like that poem that you wrote.
Ugh, don't bring that up. That was too embarrassing. Reading that in front of the class? So lame.
No, it wasn't. I loved it. It was so real.
Are you gonna eat those?
She looks at her French fries.
No.
He quickly snatches some and chomps down. He grins pleasantly and she forces a small smile. At the book signing inside the pizzeria, Diana faces empty tables.
Well, I don't understand it. We put ads in all the local papers. This place should be a madhouse by now.
Yeah, well, business has been kind of off since Jamie's little announcement last week. Maybe all we need is a new pizza to pick things up. Pickle pork-eared pizza pick?
Diana's eyes widen.
Maybe it's time to cut our losses.
Where is everyone? I mean, I can't believe we only sold two books.
It's a good thing Ralph's parents showed up.
Oh, good.
They eat his new creation.
Wait! Here they come! Customers! We have customers! Lovely people. Wait!
Diana sees kids running by outside. She steps out and they keep going. She returns with a poster.
Hooligans. We have hooligans.
What happened?
On the poster advertising the event, someone has drawn glasses, a goatee, and a blacked out tooth on Jamie's image. Jamie feels her front teeth. In the school gym, Lindsay approaches Harmony, who staples shiny material to the exterior of her huge whale sculpture.
I'm back!
Lindsay! Don't sneak up on me when I'm working on our masterpiece.
Yeah, I've been thinking about what we should stuff our masterpiece with.
Oh, I know. I have been driving myself bonkers. What is going to give our whale life? Newspaper? Foam? Packing peanuts?
Yeah, all great suggestions, but I was thinking of something a little more proactive.
A Save the Whales flyer.
And?
Lindsay opens a big plastic bin full of seaweed.
I know this will means a lot to you, but this is an incredible opportunity to make a statement. I can't do it without you. What do you think?
Harmony picks up a strand of the green seaweed.
I think it'll take our creation to the next level. True art isn't meant to be just seen, it's meant to be experienced. You can't give the people what they want. You have to show them what they want, what they need.
Was that a yes?
That was a heck yes.
Now, Jamie and Iz walk along a sidewalk.
That was humiliating.
Local market's fickle. You said that business would pick up, but it's been empty all week.
What do you want from me? Nobody wants to eat with a tattletale. They're all afraid of you.
No, they're afraid of you.
Me? I'm just a figment of your imagination.
No, you're not. You're a monster, and...
She sees Lenny's broken guitar in the trash.
And I am, too. Lenny's given up on music because of what we said to him.
Jamie runs inside and rushes to her brother's closed door.
Lenny, open up!
Lenny turns up his stereo and flops on his bed.
The things that you say.
I didn't mean those things that I said yesterday. It's no reason for you to give up music. Lenny!
He lies motionless on his bed. Jamie turns and walks away from his door. Nighttime, Jamie sits on her bed, staring off thoughtfully. Jamie goes to her computer. She looks at a list of her friends online in a pop-up window. The names suddenly begin to disappear one after the other. The last remaining name is Connor. Jamie stares at the screen. She types Connor a message. It reads, "Hi Connor, don't you hate me too?" She clicks send. At home, Connor sees the message. He hesitates, then begins to respond. Connor types. His message reads, "No, I hate what you've become." Jamie reads the message and tenses her lips. Jamie replies, "Me too." Connor reads her reply, then gazes off as he holds his hand to his chin. He raises his head, then turns his attention to his computer. On a document titled "Three Cheers for Jamie Bartlett," he types, "She didn't lie or slander us, she merely..." In her room, Jamie closes her laptop. She glumly rests her chin on her hands. Daytime, the sun shines outside the high school. In class, the students read their school paper.
Okay, this is getting a little out of hand. Since when does the Spartan have 5 pages of letters to the editor?
Iz looks at Jamie.
Hey, look at this. They're not all bad. Check out page 8.
Jamie turns the page.
3 cheers for Jamie Bartlett. She didn't lie or slander us. She merely saw through our masks. We are geeks and jerks and jocks and all those things Jamie wrote about. Even if we never admitted it to ourselves. Don't be embarrassed that she saw who we really were. Be embarrassed that we never really saw her. A friend.
Jamie and the other students stand and begin to leave the classroom.
Connor!
Hey. You alright?
Yeah, I'm okay. Did you see this?
See it.
At least Marco thinks I'm pretty special.
Huh?
I'd recognize his style anywhere. It's just like his poem. Oh, and Connor, I want to thank you for being there the other night. You're really a great friend. Now I gotta go find Marco.
Jamie tripply leaves the classroom, leaving Connor with his mouth gaping open. In the lunchroom, Jamie searches around the crowded space. Marco enters through a door.
Marco! There you are!
And there you is?
That is the sweetest thing anybody has ever done for me.
I'll play along.
You're welcome.
Don't be modest. I know it was you who wrote the letter to the editor about me. The positive one. It's just nice to know that in the face of all this negativity towards me, however unwarranted and mean it really is, it's just nice to know that there's someone out there who knows the real me. Oh, and Marco,
I can't wait for the dance.
Plus, I'd recognize your style anywhere.
Why, thank you, Iz.
It's Jamie.
Right. Sorry. Hey, so what time should I pick you up?
Nighttime, Peggy adds figures on a calculator and ledger.
Well, it was fun while it lasted, but even last month's incredible sales aren't going to cover last year's losses.
Jamie returns.
You know, I think you're wrong about that pate pizza, Peg. Let's give it another try.
Ralph, I mean, another inedible topping isn't going to save our restaurant. And the only way we're going to come out ahead is by selling the pizza parlor now, before it's too late.
Yeah, I hate to admit it, you're probably right.
Jamie eavesdrops on her parents. Later, a white dress with lines of sparkly golden silver sequins lies on a bed. Jamie walks into her room wearing a robe and towel wrapped around her head. She gazes across the room. She pulls open a drawer and takes out a carved wooden box. Jamie stares into her mirror. A photo of Lindsay and another of Harmony stick in the edge of the mirror's frame. A third photo shows Jamie playfully blowing air at Connor. Jamie looks at a picture of herself smiling with Lindsay and Harmony. Her parents warmly pose together in another image. Now, with her blonde hair in perfect curls, she paints her nails. Later, Jamie stands alone in her bedroom, continuing to get ready. She wears shiny lipstick and pulls out a lip gloss. Her pinkish eyeshadow shimmers against her pale skin. As she applies more lip gloss, she gazes up a wall of snapshots of herself and her friends. Jamie steadily smooths on black mascara. Pink sparkly nail polish adorns her fingertips. She dabs her shining lips. Jamie places a barrette in her styled, pinned-up hairdo, then changes from her robe to her gown. She smooths the dress. Light reflects off the sewn-in sequins. Jamie adjusts the sheer gold lacy shoulder straps. She puts dangly, thin metal earrings in her ears and a sparkly necklace on. Jamie slides 5 bracelets made from small beveled stones on one wrist. She puts on strappy heels on her feet. Little stones on the straps catch the light. Suddenly, Iz appears to her.
I don't know what you're moping about. You got everything you wanted, didn't you? A boyfriend and a sequel?
What about my friends? Or my brother's dreams? Or my parents' pizza parlor?
You have plenty of money in your trust fund. You'll be fine.
Excuse me? This isn't about me. This is about my family.
Don't you get it, Jamie? It's all about me.
That's what you think.
What are you doing?
Jamie runs and grabs her computer.
Where's our little girl?
Ready for the dance, Princess?
Honey, are you all right?
Yeah, I think I'm going to be fine. Just fine.
She places the closed laptop on her bed. She leaves it there as she walks out of her room. Outside the school, Connor, Harmony, and Lindsay leave as they see Jamie and Marco.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I just thought that this would be different, that's all. Come on, let's just get this over with.
Ouch. Not the most positive way to start a date, Iz.
Would you please stop calling me Iz?
They step under a deep blue sea archway. Miss Gallagher approaches.
Hi, Jamie. You look beautiful.
Thank you. So do you. And Marco?
Very handsome.
Zap at you, Miss G.
Inside the gym, hors d'oeuvres rest on plates next to glass punch bowls. Jamie holds Marco's arm at his bent elbow as they step inside. Harmony's giant sparkling whale hangs from the ceiling. Tubular pieces stand around the floor like coral. A band plays on the stage. Jamie and Marco dance. Sawyer dances with the two Jennifers. Iz marches across the floor wearing an elegant fur shawl over her shoulders. She grins mischievously.
All ecosystems go.
Oh, it's gonna be a whale of a time.
Harmony and Lindsay smile and gaze up at the whale decoration overhead. The kids bop and move to the band's rhythm. Lenny walks in with a young woman and greets his friends.
What's up? Hey, Lenny. What's up, man? All right.
Marco and Jamie leave the dance floor.
You want some punches?
No, but I really appreciate it if you would stop calling me Iz.
Sorry. Well, I want some punch.
He stops walking and turns to Jamie.
Sorry for calling you Iz. I think you're really cool, Jamie. Well, none of my friends can believe that someone as smart as you said yes to me.
It's crazy. You're so smart and you're an amazing writer and a poet. Oh,
that stupid poem? I would never write something like that.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I paid that dork Connor to do the assignment for me.
Connor? Who cares? He's hot. Let's dance. You stay out of this.
She glares at Iz.
Oh, calm down. Just homework, right?
I help you with yours.
It's the principal.
Marco looks around.
What does the principal have to do with this?
If I have to tell you, you will never know. Will you please just shut up and dance with him? But he's not the one that I should be dancing with.
Who are you talking to? I'm lost.
You with me now.
Marco watches Jamie storm off alone, looking like she's pulling someone with her. Jamie speedily walks across the room that turns to Iz.
What are you doing here? You're supposed to be trapped in my computer.
Are we all having a good time?
You think you can get rid of me that easily? We're a team. Like Abbott and Costello.
More like Dr. Jekyll and Mrs. Hyde.
You made me what I am today.
Yes, but I was the nice one. I had friends before I had you.
You had nothing. You were invisible. Everyone hated you.
It's not true. They hated what I became.
And I want to thank one special girl who, in spite of tremendous obligations and responsibilities, took the time to make all the beautiful decorations in the gym tonight.
And if Connor wrote the poem, then he had to write the letter in the paper.
And just look at that whale!
Lindsay and Harmony smile. On another side of the room, Jamie's mouth hangs open.
Connor sees the real me. I've been such a horrible friend to him. I hope he'll forgive me.
Jamie Bartlett! Get out here and take a bow.
Me?
Yes! We want to thank you for all the good you've done for the school. Please, come here.
Do you really want to hear this? Let's just pull it now.
Just give her a second.
For your tireless dedication and commitment and your amazing creativity, accept our gratitude. And these roses.
A woman gives Jamie a large bouquet.
Now, is there anything you want to say to us?
Miss Gallagher gives the mic to Jamie.
This is our chance to win them back. Show them how great we really are. Tell them about the sequel. Promise Sawyer, roll in the mood. You can do it. Just be yourself. I mean, be me.
Thank you, Miss Gallagher, for those kind words. After the week I've had, it's nice to be appreciated.
You said that this would work.
Keep going.
Mentioned my sequel?
Not another one!
Guys, I'm out of here.
Connor walks toward the exit. Harmony and Lindsay hold a rope attached to the whale. From the stage, Jamie sees Connor leaving.
Any other brilliant ideas?
Iz stands gaping next to Jamie. Iz carefully studies what the rope attaches to. A single Save the Whales flyer floats down to the dance floor.
That's it. Lindsay and Harmony have rigged the whale to throw protest flyers all over the dance floor. They'll ruin everything. But if you rat them out before that happens, and they take the fall for it, you'll be a hero again. You know how fickle the local market is.
Jamie imagines the scene. She smiles.
Do it.
Her friends release the rope.
That's my girl.
There's something I have to say to you. I'm sorry.
What?
I'm sorry to everyone. I'm sorry if I
embarrassed you or insulted you or hurt you in any way. That wasn't my intention. None of this was. That was my personal, private journal, and no one was supposed to read it.
Her fellow students look around as they listen.
But that still doesn't give me the right to say the things that I did. No one is black and white like they appear in my book. I mean, we're all a lot of things. All unique and special in our own way. And we all have talents, including my brother. Even though he doesn't want anyone to know it, he should. See, and those are the things that I should have been writing about. Harmony, Lindsay, come here. I want everyone to know who did all of the work tonight. While I was off, pretending to be somebody I wasn't, these two worked above and beyond what they should have to make this Deep Blue Sea dance so spectacular.
Lenny claps, smiling.
These are for you.
Jamie gives the flowers to Harmony.
What do you think you're doing?
Sawyer scowls. The two Jennifers stop clapping.
And I have another present for you.
She heads to the rope.
Jamie, stop!
Iz glares.
If you pull that rope, you'll be blamed for everything. What do you think you're doing?
Something I should have done a long time ago. You don't have the power, Iz. I do.
Save the whales!
Jamie yanks on the rope. The whale's mouth opens and drops the flyers in the soggy seaweed. It coats Lenny. Jamie raises her arms victoriously. The whale tips down and swings, throwing its contents around.
Oh, she's not getting away with it.
Seaweed splatters Iz, Sawyer, and other students. Kids run. A big clump whacks Marco in his face. Sawyer freaks out. Marco grins. Harmony and Lindsay crack up as they watch the scene. Jamie runs to them.
Friends? Friends. Now where's Connor? He ditched when you were on stage. I have to find him.
It's all right! Don't!
Oh. A wad of seaweed flings onto Miss Gallagher. Outside, Connor stands by the parking lot. His brother pulls up in his truck. Jamie rushes out of the building as Connor opens the door and starts to get in.
Connor!
He eyes his brother as she runs over.
What's she want now?
There's only one way to find out.
Connor turns and stares at Jamie as she jogs to him in her heels.
I've been looking for you.
Well, you found me.
Hi. Look, I'm really sorry I've been such a jerk lately. I don't know what's come over me. Or maybe I do. But the truth is, I never liked Marco. And just liked his poetry, and now I found out that it wasn't even him.
She takes his hand into hers.
It was you.
Wimped out. I should have just asked you to the dance.
She leans closer and the two kiss, pressing their lips together under the night sky. Jamie opens her eyes and looks at him.
About that dance.
Way to go, Squirt.
Connor's brother grins in the driver's seat of his truck. Connor and Jamie walk back into the dance together.
Ms. Bartlett, about your display.
Yes, ma'am.
I want a word with you.
Miss Gallagher pulls seaweed off herself.
What are you doing?
Sawyer taps Marco as he claps. He wraps his arm around her instead.
Monday.
Lenny stands on the stage.
Don't worry, sis. You're not the only one who's been a dork lately. This one's for you.
Connor and Jamie run to the middle of the dance floor. Lenny plays his guitar with the band.
You said your time was running out. You're far from where you want to be. You're hanging in the lost and found. You're losing touch with everything. And when you need someone to lean on, holding you down. Whenever you need me, I will be around. Don't worry.
The whole school dances along.
I will be around when you think it's over. I won't let you down if your luck runs out.
Lenny beams at the enthused crowd. Inside his pizza shack, Ralph turns off the neon light in the window. Peggy stands in the closed restaurant and gives her husband a big hug. Jamie opens the door and walks in with Connor. The teens smile and hold hands.
Mom, Dad, I hope you don't mind. I brought some friends for pizza.
The crowd from the dance runs in.
Will you look at that? I gotta get cooking.
Lenny high-fives his dad and walks to the kitchen with him. Ralph takes a cheese pizza out of the oven. Lenny takes off his blazer to work some dough. He tosses the blazer and strips of seaweed fall down onto the freshly baked pizza. Peggy comes and quickly takes the seaweed pizza and serves it to a table. Kids grab slices. The high school students nod and smile as they chomp up the slices topped with the dark green strips of seaweed. Peggy returns to the kitchen.
Any more spinach pizza?
I didn't make spinach.
Well, whatever it was, everybody wants more.
Seaweed?
Uh-oh. My bad.
No, you're good. I think this could be it. Listen to those kids. Lenny, go get the seaweed from the sushi in the cooler. Hurry.
Peggy and Ralph walk to the front.
Hey, great pizza, Mr. B.
Hey, you take the orders. I'll get the pizza.
You did it, Ralph. You really did it.
No, he, but...
She kisses her husband.
Yeah, I did.
He runs to the back.
One seaweed pizza, order was restored in the kingdom once again. The princess kissed her frog and they danced until dawn. Okay, 9:30. And everyone lived happily ever after.
Suds fill a deep sink in the back. The bubbles cover Iz as she washes the dishes.
Well, almost everyone.
A printer shoots out a page reading, "The End." Jamie takes it and places it under a stack of papers with the title, "How My Private Personal Journal Became a Bestseller." Fade to black.
You said your time was running out. You're far from where you want to be. You're hanging in the lost and found. You're losing touch with everything. And when you need someone to lean on, I will be around when you think it's over. I won't let you down if your love runs out. And when it feels like life is holding you down, whenever you need me, whenever you need me, I will be around.
Audio description funded by Walt Disney Studios. Voiced by Jennifer Zhang.